Next up is an article from today's E-Edition. Taking aim at the Federal Reserve, President's criticisms of Powell may threaten central bank's independence. Here's why it matters. This article is from the Associated Press by Christopher Rugeber. Donald Trump has stepped up his attacks on the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell at the same time that the Supreme Court is considering a case that could make it easier for the president to fire him. The developments are occurring against a backdrop of wider turmoil in the economy and financial markets, brought on by Trump's sweeping taxes on imports. Most economists worry that an assault on the Fed's longstanding independence from politics would further disrupt markets and add to the uncertainty enveloping the economy. In comments April 17th at the White House, Trump suggested he has the power to remove Powell and criticized him for not aggressively cutting interest rates. "If I want him out, he'll be out of there real fast, believe me," Trump said. "I'm not happy with him." All the scrutiny threatens the Fed's venerated independence, which has long been supported by most economists and Wall Street investors. Here are some questions and answers about the Fed. Why does the Fed's independence matter? The Fed wields extensive power over the U.S. economy. By cutting the short-term interest rate it controls, which it typically does when the economy falters, the Fed can make borrowing cheaper and encourage more spending, accelerating growth and hiring. When it raises the rate, which it does to cool the economy and combat inflation, it can weaken the economy and cause job losses. Economists have long preferred independent central banks because they can more easily take unpopular steps to fight inflation, such as raise interest rates, which makes borrowing to buy a home, car, or appliance more expensive. The importance of an independent Fed was cemented for most economists after the extended inflation spike of the 1970s and early 1980s. Former Fed Chair Arthur Burns was widely blamed for allowing the painful inflation of that era to accelerate by succumbing to pressure from Republican President Richard Nixon to keep rates low heading into the 1972 election. Nixon feared higher rates would cost him the election, which he won in a landslide. Paul Volcker was eventually appointed chair of the Fed in 1979 by Democratic President Jimmy Carter, and he pushed the Fed's short-term rate to the stunningly high level of nearly 20%. It is currently 4.3%. The eye-popping rates triggered a sharp recession and pushed unemployment to nearly 11% and spurred widespread protests. Yet Volcker didn't flinch. By the mid-1980s, inflation had fallen back into the low single digits. Volcker's willingness to inflict pain on the economy to throttle inflation is seen by most economists as a key example of the value of an independent Fed. What do Wall Street investors think? An effort to fire Powell would almost certainly cause stock prices to fall and bond yields to spike higher, pushing up interest rates on government debt and raising borrowing costs for mortgages, auto loans, and credit card debt. Most investors prefer an independent Fed, partly because it typically manages inflation better without being influenced by politics, but also because its decisions are more predictable. Fed officials often publicly discuss how they would alter interest rate policies if economic conditions changed. If the Fed was more swayed by politics, it would be harder for financial markets to anticipate or understand its decisions. Does that mean the Fed is completely unaccountable? Well, no. Fed chairs like Powell are appointed by the president to serve four-year terms and have to be confirmed by the Senate. The president also appoints the six other members of the Fed's governing board, who can serve staggered terms of up to 14 years, though most governors leave before the end of their terms. Those appointments can allow a president over time to significantly alter the Fed's policies. Former Democratic President Joe Biden appointed five of the current seven members: Powell, Lisa Cook, Philip Jefferson, Adriana Kugler, and Michael Barr. As a result, Trump will have fewer opportunities to make appointments. He will be able to replace Kugler, who filled an unexpired term ending January 31, 2026. Congress, meanwhile, can set the Fed's goals through legislation. In 1977, for example, Congress gave the Fed a dual mandate to keep prices stable and seek maximum employment. The Fed defines stable prices as inflation at 2%. The 1977 law also requires the Fed chair to testify before the House and Senate twice every year about the economy and interest rate policy. But can the president fire Powell? Powell says the law establishing the Fed does not allow a president to fire a chair except for cause. There is some complication in that Powell was separately appointed as a member of the Fed's Board of Governors and then elevated to the position of chair by Trump in 2017. Most legal scholars agree that Trump can't fire Powell from the Fed's Board of Governors, but there is less agreement over whether a president can remove him as chair. In January, Michael Barr, who was vice chair for supervision, stepped down from that post but remained on the board to avoid a potential legal clash over whether Trump could fire him. Should Trump try to fire Powell anyway, the ensuing fight would almost certainly end up at the Supreme Court. What could the Supreme Court do? We may get an early sign of how the Supreme Court would decide it this summer. There's already a case before the court on the issue of whether the president can fire top officials at independent agencies. The case stems from Trump's firing of two officials, one from the National Labor Relations Board and the other from an agency that protects workers from political interference. The Supreme Court recently let the firings stand while it considers the case. It could rule this summer that the president, as the head of the executive branch, could fire officials at any federal agency, even if Congress had intended it to be independent. The case would overturn a 90-year-old precedent known as Humphrey's Executor, in which the court ruled that the president couldn't fire such officials. Powell recently said he is watching the case closely, adding that it might not apply to the Fed. Lawyers for the Trump administration, seeking to narrow the focus of the case, argued that it doesn't involve the Fed. Both the Trump administration and the Supreme Court justices carved out exemptions for the Fed before. In February, the White House issued an executive order that placed several financial regulatory agencies, including the Fed and the Securities and Exchange Commission, more directly under the president's control. Yet the order specifically exempted the Fed's ability to set interest rates from that order. And in a case in 2023, Justice Samuel Alito said in a footnote that the Fed is a unique institution with a unique historical background that made it different than the other independent bodies. If the court does give presidents more power over the heads of independent agencies, it could potentially exempt the Fed. This article is from the Associated Press by Christopher Rugeber, taking aim at the Federal Reserve.
Page 13 is an article by Matthew Perrone of the Associated Press, Contractors to Replace Fired FDA Staff. Dateline Washington. When Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced sweeping job cuts at his department last month, he said safety inspectors who observe U.S. foods and drugs won't be affected. Those employees remain at the Food and Drug Administration, but dozens of others who supported their work are gone. The departed staffers include people who booked international trips to remote pharmaceutical plants, lab scientists who tested food samples for contamination and communication, a specialist who alerted the public to urgent safety recalls. Potential disruptions to FDA's already strained inspection force are so great that agency leaders recently expedited plans to hire outside contractors to replace some fired workers, starting with those who arrange foreign travel, according to staffers with direct knowledge of the situation who spoke on condition of anonymity. Under FDA rules, staffers are prohibited from publicly discussing sensitive agency matters without permission. The FDA has struggled for years to ramp up inspections after a wave of longtime staffers resigned or retired during the COVID-19 pandemic. Efforts to recruit new inspectors were stymied by the demands of the job, months of travel, modest pay, and grueling work under the challenging overseas conditions. If you put all of this together, even if you didn't have a reduction in the number of people who do the inspections, you're reducing their support, said Howard Schlemberger, an attorney who previously served as FDA's top inspection and enforcement official. Natural result is going to be fewer inspections. FDA Commissioner Marty McCarry told podcaster Megyn Kelly in an episode posted Thursday that the cuts were communications, legislative affairs, and tech support positions. There were no cuts to scientific reviewers or inspectors or law enforcement at the FDA, and my goal is to make sure that all of those people have the resources they need to do their job well, McCarry said. The latest cuts include 170 staffers in FDA Office of Inspections and Investigations, including all personnel who handle travel bookings, virus visas, and security for inspectors working in Asia, South America, and other regions. Termination letters stated those jobs were unnecessary or virtually identical to others in the agency. That is seemingly contradicted by plans to outsource the work to private companies. The union represented FDA staff said the decision is not only reckless, it's inefficient, costly, and a significant risk to human life. At HHS, spokesman said the cuts only impacted administrative positions and would make the agency more efficient and responsive. They did not answer questions about whether contractors would be cheaper or more efficient. Sklamberger said the changes likely will lead to more departures, particularly among experienced inspectors, because of the environment that's been created and the difficulty of working there. The Government Accountability Office recently urged the FDA to develop new strategies for retaining inspectors, noting attrition outpaced hiring for years. As a result, the FDA is still conducting 36% fewer inspections today than before the pandemic. There is no official tally of jobs lost at FDA, and many supervisors still don't know how many of their employees decided to take early retirement, buyouts, or other offers designed to shrink the workforce. This could be devastating to the FDA in a way that they can't even control, said Susan Main of Yale University, who previously directed the FDA's Food Center. Looking up to the latest layoffs, senior FDA leaders prepared detailed plans for reducing staff without harming the agency's core functions, according to two senior FDA staffers with direct knowledge of their work. Those proposals were never requested by nor represented to staffers working for Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, who made the decisions. Many of the firings targeted positions and teams with the words policy and regulation in their titles. Other cuts appeared to target offices in parts of the country deemed more expensive. At least 10 food scientists in FDA's San Francisco testing laboratory were cut, according to an FDA staffer with direct knowledge of the program. Rapidly testing food samples is critical to the FDA's inspection and enforcement work, allowing the agency to quickly shut down facilities producing tainted products and issue warning letters. The accuracy of that work is also key when FDA lawyers need to defend their actions in court. Even rules that would seemingly support Kennedy's stated goals, such as stricter regulation of food additives and chemicals, were eliminated. Among 15 scientists working at FDA's Division of Food Processing Science and Technology in Chicago lost their jobs. Their research included finding ways to identify and eliminate hazardous chemicals and reducing microplastics and other particles that can leach into packaged food. Those remaining at the agency are now trying to pick up some of the critical tasks once performed by fired colleagues. That includes notifying consumers, industry, and doctors about emerging safety issues, including food recalls, import alerts, drug side effects, and supply shortages. For years, that work was mainly done by more than a dozen people in the agency's media affairs office, which was eliminated this month. Communications work now is left to various staffers scattered throughout the agency's centers handling hundreds of other issues, including food, drugs, vaccines, tobacco, and other products. Nearly all public statements are now must go through HHS press office, which has only a handful of staffers, most of whom don't have a background in FDA issues. And that was an article on page A13, Contractors to Replace Fired FDA Staff. Lizzie?
Moving to page A3 now. New Kent native Torrance voted off American Idol. This is from staff reports. New Kent native Grayson Torrance's American Idol journey came to an end Sunday night. The American public cast their votes for the next top 20 singers. On Sunday night's episode, Torrance and 24 other American Idol hopefuls waited for the results that would choose the final 20 contestants. Torrance was one of four contestants eliminated. Torrance posted to social media, "This journey has been an unbelievable blessing. You have no clue. Thank y'all for all of the love and support during this journey. Though it may be the end of my time on American Idol, it is not the end." She thanked American Idol for choosing her to sing on the show and helping her meet some of the best people I've ever met in my life. "I wouldn't be who I am today if I never did this, so thank you for everyone who pushed me to chase my dreams. This has been a crazy, unexpected ride, but I couldn't be more grateful," she wrote. On Sunday night's episode, the judges, including Lionel Richie, Luke Bryan, and Carrie Underwood, performed to the theme of Songs of Faith. American Idol airs on ABC on Sunday and Monday nights at 8 p.m. This article was compiled from staff reports. New Kent native Torrance voted off American Idol.
And we move on to the briefs column on page 11, part of the Nation of World page. Harvard files lawsuit over frozen grant money. Dateline Boston. Harvard University announced Monday that it has filed a lawsuit to halt a federal freeze on more than $2.2 million in grants after the institution said it would defy the Trump administration's demands to limit activism on campus. In a letter to Harvard earlier this month, the Trump administration called for broader government and leadership reforms at the university, as well as changes to its admissions policies. It also demanded the university audit views of diversity on campus and stop recognizing some student clubs. Harvard President Alan Gerber, said the university would not bend to the demands. Hours later, the government froze billions of dollars in federal funding. In its lawsuit, Harvard said the funding freeze violated its First Amendment rights and the statutory provisions of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. And that was Harvard files lawsuit over frozen grant money. Trump calls Fed Chair Powell a major loser. Dateline Washington. President Donald Trump repeated his attacks Monday against the chair of the Federal Reserve, demanding that the central bank lower its key interest rate to boost the economy. Trump called Jerome Powell a major loser, and claimed energy and grocery prices are substantially lower and there is virtually no inflation. Yet Trump said the economy could slow without rate cuts. Gas prices have fallen for the past 2 months, in part because oil costs have dropped on fears of slower growth, but food prices jumped in January and March, and overall inflation remains above the Fed's 2% target. Trump's comments drove the stock market and the dollar lower. Investors in the U.S. and overseas grow wary about the economic standard of the U.S. And that was Trump calls Fed Chair Powell a major loser. And briefly, Menendez verdict. Nadine Menendez, the wife of former U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, was convicted Monday of teaming up with her husband to accept bribes as cash, gold bars, and a luxury car from three New Jersey men looking for help with their business dealings or legal troubles. Rikers Island. In a written order Monday, the New York judge, Mary Rosato, ordered city officials to temporarily halt a plan to allow federal immigration agents to operate within the Rikers Island jail complex ahead of a hearing this week. Trade talks. China warned other countries Monday against making trade deals with the United States to China's detriment. Governments, including those of Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea, have begun negotiations with Washington after President Trump announced tariff against almost all of America's trading partners April 2. Ukraine war. Russian attacks during the 10-hour Easter ceasefire unilaterally declared by President Vladimir Putin over the weekend killed three people in Ukraine's southern Kherson region, an official said Monday. The Delta Airlines airplane caught fire Monday before it was supposed to take off from Orlando International Airport, forcing the evacuation of passengers, airport officials said. There were no reports of injuries. And with that,
we're going to sign off. Thank you so much for listening. Have a happy Earth Day. We appreciate the support of the Times-Dispatch for our daily readings. Your readers today have been Fred Danz and Lindsay Ryland.